You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
So, hello again. So, if you want to turn in your Bibles or on your phones to 1 Timothy, I just want us to consider what we're considering this morning a bit more, to think about elders and eldership and why is eldership important and what are we doing this morning, and why today is so significant for not just the individuals that we're praying, but for you as a church. So I want you to look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. And for those of you who haven't heard me speak before, then I don't mind you being on your phones during the course of the morning, as long as you're looking at the scriptures and Facebooking and WhatsApping and Instaing how great I am and how great the church is and what a great time you're having in the meeting. So we're going to read a little bit from 1 Timothy, just to help you understand the context of this. So if you look at the beginning of what we call the letter of 1 Timothy, it says it's Paul, an apostle of Christ, and then verse 2, to Timothy. So what's happening here is that Paul is writing to Timothy, who's leading a church. He's leading a big church in Ephesus. He's a young man, and Paul, as the apostle, is helping him. So he's writing a letter to Timothy to help him understand how to build a successful church. And so in that, he's writing to him about leaders and writing to him about elders. And so that's why this morning's important, and that's why we're going to put this morning in context. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 7. Here is a trustworthy saying: if anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Now the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well, and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone doesn't know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. Lord, we want to thank you again so much for this morning and how important this morning is, not just for Simon and Lou, not just for Nathan and Chrissy, but for all of us. And we thank you so much again for all that you're doing here, Lord, in Farnham and Aldershot and Borden. We can even this morning just look around and see your goodness and see your grace, and see your church thriving and growing as you said it would. And so we ask you, please help us, Lord, to understand even more, a bit more about your ways and your purposes for us as we look at your word. Amen. So I bring love and greetings from our church in Newbury as well. For those of you who don't know, so Beverly and I were leading the church there in Camberley, just up the road, and then Guy Miller asked us if we would go to Newbury and to kind of do it again, really. So we planted the church there in Newbury and then helped with Sean and Haley build the church and plant the church here. And now we're doing the same in Newbury. So we've been there for 4 years. Each town is very different. As you know, each town has a very different kind of feel and a different kind of culture. But we're enjoying the new kind of culture of West Berkshire as opposed to Surrey and Hampshire, and enjoying West Berkshire as well. So do keep praying for us. 3 weeks ago, we started the term with three baptisms, which was just the best way to start the term, really, and three really different kind of stories. So one of them was a teenage girl who has been brought up a Christian, but decided she needed to make her own decision for Jesus, not just kind of follow her mum and dad. She needed to make a decision for Jesus herself. So that was part of her journey, and she made that really clear, and that was beautiful. And then there was a middle-aged single guy who's been struggling with some of the things that Sean was talking about in terms of mental health issues, and in this kind of dark place and confused, clouded place, called out to God and has found God to be there for him and really close to him and really helping him and very present with him. And God has shone his light into his heart, and so he wanted to tell us about that as well. And then there was a single mum as well who got baptized. She explained how she's been in a very difficult place, in a very difficult relationship. She had to escape from that relationship, and in her darkness and in her desperation, called out to God in that dark, lonely place, and again found God to be there, who shone his love into her heart and gave her a peace and a hope. And so she wanted to tell her story as well. So it's just the best thing, isn't it? Of God, Jesus, and the life transforming stories of the power of the love touching peace being turned around. So God joins people to churches, to build churches, and in order to govern and look after churches, he's instituted elders, eldership, in order to do that. So Paul is telling Timothy to go and appoint elders, and this is what you're to look out for. These are the sorts of people to look out for. So we're just going to skim through a few things in terms of what elders do, and I think you know who they are now, and the qualifications for eldership, and then we're going to finish off by putting the elders to work by doing one of the important things that it says in the scriptures that elders should do. So the first thing, to kind of put it in context, is this: when we're told that we're to appoint elders into every town. This is one of my favourite pictures of Farnham, by the way. And those of you who didn't see this picture of Farnham, this is somebody who drove their Porsche into someone's house by mistake. I could have showed you one of the kind of market town pictures of Farnham, but I just kind of like this particular picture of Farnham. And this is common throughout kind of Paul's letters, so whether he's writing to Timothy, or whether he's writing to Titus, or whether it's Peter writing, or through the book of Acts, this phrase keeps coming up: appoint elders in every town, or appoint elders in every church. That's why it's really important what we're doing this morning. Sean didn't make this up. We did. Oh, how are we going to do this? Oh, I don't know. Let's just have elders. No, this is what we're told to do. Paul kind of tells us, Jesus tells us how to do this. And in case you're wondering as well, it's not just, I'm just going to skip through here, because I also noticed this, that what I find intriguing too is that, what's Richard Branson got to do with this? You might be thinking to yourselves, but what I've discovered is that Richard Branson has elders. And recently I read his book on his Virgin Empire, and he has a whole chapter on eldership, which I just thought was really interesting. Obviously, the places where he gathers his elders is not quite like Sean's front room. You know, he gathers people in his amazing kind of island in the middle of the Caribbean for his eldership meetings, and they have them around the world. But I just thought even business leaders are recognizing it's just good to gather a few people together. In other words, Richard Branson is saying, I can't do this on my own. I need some help. I need some guys around me who are going to help me, in his case, to kind of run his kind of global empire. And so even Richard Branson has elders. And so in terms of then who they are, I wanted to show you this picture as well in terms of last night. I just thought, you know, for those of you who like athletics, I know that Chrissy likes athletics, for instance, and a number of you, I don't know if you know, but just in case you didn't know, both the men and the women GB team, they both won silver medals last night. But this is a great example of team, isn't it? Because what's important about eldership as well is that Peter didn't say, go and appoint an elder in a church. No, this is about working together in a team. Paul's very clear when he's going through Acts, appointing elders. It's plurality of eldership. Sean needs good men and women around him. And I think those of you who know the makeup of the church here, I think you'll agree that Sean has a great team around him, just fantastic men and women around him, in order to make all this and more happen. That's why it's important that when we're thinking about Aldershot as well, we don't just want to send Steve and Amber out into Aldershot in the new year. We want to make sure he's got a good team around him. And so it's fantastic that he's got Simon and Lou with him, and I'm hoping to come back in months and years to come, and we'll have other elders in Aldershot as well, because the church will be flourishing, the church will be growing. So it's really important that we appoint elders and follow what the scriptures teach us. So in terms of who the elders are, I think you've probably got an idea now in terms of who the elders are. We had them all up to pray, so please do keep praying for them. So in terms of what they do then, what is it that the elders actually do? Well, the reason I've chosen this particular picture is that this is one of the first things that we're told that elders do. So if you want to turn with me to 1 Peter. So 1 Peter is a book that's a bit further on from Timothy. You've got Hebrews, which is slightly longer, and then you've got Peter, which is a similar letter. And this, in this case, is written by Peter. That's why it's called 1 Peter. It's Peter's first letter. And he's just got some really helpful things to say about elders as well, which puts this morning in context. So the last chapter, so 1 Peter 5, he says this in verse 2, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." And so we've got a lovely picture here in terms of what the job of an elder is. It's to shepherd. It's watching over you, watching over the flock. That's what elders do, principally, just watching a lot of the time. And I'm very grateful for the elders that I have in Newbury who watch over the flock with me. And often they'll ask me things, "Oh, have you noticed this? Or have you noticed that? Or what are you going to do about that, Mark? And why are you doing that, Mark? Shouldn't you be doing this?" They're helping me to watch over the flock. And what about the young? What about the children? What about the teenagers? What about this, Mark, and that? And what about this person for that role? So all the time we're together watching over the flock. And I know that Sean and his team of elders do a fabulous job looking out and looking over you as well. Even this morning, I was just, as we've been praying for Simon and praying for Lou, I just felt in my heart, Simon, you know what it is to be a police officer and watch over people. And even for this moment, it's almost as if God's trained you and prepared you for this moment in terms of watching over people. And he's given you great eyes to see and to watch over. Just in your professional life, you know it is to watch over people. God's going to use that even more now to watch over a different set of people and to see them flourish and grow. And I felt for you as well, it's almost as if in your kind of professional capacity, your this kind of amazing ability you have to help people fall asleep. I hope not this morning, by the way. Okay. But I just felt that beautiful word that was brought from about Psalm 23, you know, part of that was for you too, that you're going to bring people into rest. You're going to find rest, an amazing rest in Jesus. But you're going to bring lots and lots of other people into rest in Jesus as well, enabling them not to fall asleep, but to find rest in Christ. Some of you I know who are suffering from insomnia, there'll be a queue now to see Lou at the back. She's been having a clinic in that kind of side door over there. And so that's what principally elders do, is that they are shepherds. But what else do they do? Are there other kind of things that elders do? Well, I've just kind of distilled it into these kind of three things, really, in terms of helping us to understand a little bit more about what elders do in terms of direction, doctrine, and discipline, without spending too much time on it. But it's really important that the elders, as shepherds, do have a sense of where the flock are going, where we're going as a sheep. We're not just static, staying in our sheep pen. You know, we're on a mission with Jesus together. And so part of the elder's job is to work out where we're going, to plot the direction or to navigate where the ship is going, whatever kind of analogy you want to give in that term. And also to look out for the doctrine of the church. In other words, those things that we believe, that's a really, really important function of eldership, and to making sure that we're adhering to orthodox biblical Christianity, because there's a lot of kind of fads and a lot of things going on in the world which you can watch on telly and you can pick up on YouTube. And so let me think of an example. So just recently, So a woman in our church was handing out copies of a particular book to people and was talking about this book and talking about this person with great kind of energy and enthusiasm, and I just kind of felt uneasy about that. So I thought, I'm just going to have to deal with this. I'm just going to have to give a day to studying this book and watching this person on YouTube, and so that I can give an informed response. Why am I feeling uneasy about these books and this particular person? So, because it sounded very kind of plausible, and so I gave myself some time to study, to read the book through carefully, and then I thought, oh, right, okay, this sounds good, but actually the book was laced with heresy. In other words, things that aren't actually in the Bible, the extra biblical material. I'm watching this person on YouTube. I just thought, that's it. So Beverly and I asked to see the lady and said, look, I'm really, really concerned about this book, and had highlighted some things in the book with just extra biblical material and said, this paragraph is not actually in the Bible. This is called heresy. It's wrong. It's not right. That's why I wouldn't recommend this book, and I don't want you to give this book to people in the church. Of course, she was very upset with me. She left the house. We never saw her again. And I'm sad about that. I would much rather have won her. But that's our role as elders, is to literally guard the flock and to watch out for kind of false doctrines. And even a church not far from here, one of the leader of the church, again, he was the leader, didn't have a team of elders around him. I think I told you last time I was here, I'm still recovering from his particular statement. You know, he said that from now on, the women in this church are not to shave their legs or their armpits. And I just thought, that's completely nuts. That's just completely nuts. And that's one of the reasons we have teams of elders around us. So Sean doesn't say nutty things like that. Some of you, I can tell, I've just completely lost you. You've gone to another place. But that's a very important function of elders, is to guard the doctrines of the church. And I know that Sean will do that. I know the team of elders will do that. And I know that Steve and Simon and the other elders that will come along in Aldershot will do that as well. So in disciple do, also elder responsible for this, for discipline, or for, this is for discipling. It's all for us to make disciples of Jesus, and to help people to come to know Jesus, and to strengthen people in their following, in their fellowship of Jesus. That's principally what elders are doing. If you like, we're all sheep. We're all trying to follow the Good Shepherd. We're all trying to follow Jesus. That's why we're here. That's why you're here. That's why God places elders in churches, to help us all to follow Jesus, so that we can present Jesus clearly to people. And so that's why elders help with the architecture of the church, in terms of, right, so how are we going to help children know Jesus? Well, we could do that with children's ministry. How else? Well, we could help people do that by having small groups during the week, where intimately we can talk about our relationships with Jesus and grow in our faith. And that we can also have things like this evening, on the Sunday evening, we can pray together, and that helps us growing in our relationship with Jesus. All these things that elders do in helping us in our following, helping us in our discipling, in our discipline, because that's also something occasionally elders have to get involved with, because we're just in a family. Sometimes one of the children or one of the teenagers might just do something that's not quite appropriate. Then mom or dad has to bring some discipline or some admonition to the child. So it is in the church family. Occasionally the elders are responsible for doing that. So they might have to speak to somebody about some kinds of behavior which are just not appropriate in the life of the church. And that's part of the elder's role. That's why it's important that there, again, are a team of elders, so they can talk about those things together and agree those things together, and then appoint whoever it is appropriately to bring the encouragement, the admonition, the discipline to that individual. So those are just a few things in terms of what elders do. So in terms then of this, what are the qualifications for eldership? I mean, it's really interesting. If you just want to turn back with me to the Timothy kind of passage. So we're just going back a few kind of pages. Helpfully in the Bible, all the kind of T's are together. So you've got 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy. And if you just kind of cast your eye down the passage, there's 15 actually. There's 15 qualifications there, just in that Timothy passage for eldership. And it's just really interesting, isn't it? Because, of course, what it doesn't say is the elder must be a phenomenal cosmic preacher. You know, it doesn't say that, does it? He must look outstanding and be very handsome. No, it doesn't say that either. Because what is it mostly about? What's he like at home? What's he like at home? And of course, that's why it's so brilliant for me to go and see Simon at home and have tea with Lou and the boys and just see just the lovely way in which he was with Lou and the lovely way he was with the children engaging, and same with Nathan, just sitting around the table with Nathan, and we were talking about Elijah's birthday party that's coming up, and just seeing the beautiful way that Nathan was with Chrissy and with the children. That's the most important thing. And I think you'd want that to be the most important thing as well, wouldn't you? That these men love their wives and love their children and are leading their families well. So that's why we see what the qualifications are for eldership. It's about godly character, and it's about men in the home. And so I'm delighted, because I've been able to see it up close, delighted to be able to see Simon at home, and delighted to see Nathan at home, godly men in the home. So I know you will join me and keep praying for them, and keep praying for Lou and Chrissy and the children as well, that they will be godly homes, godly marriages. Please keep praying for their marriages and for their children as well. And then there is something else as well in terms of what elders do, which I didn't include in a picture, but I do want us to think about is this in James as well. So you might want to turn with me to James, or you might want to look at it on your phone. But again, if you go forward a little bit in terms of Timothy and Hebrews, and then you come to James. And again, just to kind of put it in context, it's called James because it was written by James. And again, he's helping churches, helping people like us, because the wonderful thing about the Bible is it is timeless in its power and application. And so in terms of what elders do, here's another great thing that elders do. In chapter 5, I'll read from verse 13. It says this: is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray for him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So one of the great things that elders get to do is pray for people, and to pray for healing for people. This isn't just an administrative job, being an elder. It's not just about planning things. It's not just about organizing things. It's about bringing the very presence of Jesus to people. And in this case, and in some cases, bringing the healing power of Jesus to people as well. And so in just a moment, we're going to do that. We're going to put the elders to work right in front of us, right now, right this morning, in praying for people.